We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Carol, I must tell you what Dave Klein just texted me. We are communicating, you know, via text during the breaks and sometimes on the air. And here's his quote. You're somehow more annoying on remote. That's what he said to me.
I have a song that I sing. You've never heard this song, have you?
I never. I don't even know what you're referring to.
Well,
is it about me?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it is.
A little bit.
It's not about you. It's about the remotes. Because remotes for producers are a juggling. You're juggling
they
hot coals. I mean, it's very difficult for the producer. And so whenever there's a remote, I come in my best voice, and I'm going to back up from the microphone. And
okay,
I sing, and I sing this. I love a remote. I love a remote. I love a remote. I love a remote.
That was outstanding.
Yes, I sing that
to make Dave
calm down and laugh. Because he doesn't like remotes.
Yeah, I'm trying to make it harder on him, so I'm giving him a bunch of grief. Like, the traffic music there was a little too loud for my taste. So
I was texting you back at the time.
Yeah, he was texting me, and what did I say, Dave?
Well, I thought it was something pertinent to the show.
And I said, maybe if you weren't texting me, you'd have better board skills, right? And that's when he said, you're somehow more annoying on
remote.
All right, so, Carol, yes. I taunted you on social media. Did you see this?
I did not. How did I miss this?
Play the audio. You're not checking social media. Dave, play the audio for us. There's a video.
Stay tuned from the home studio here in High Ridge, and I really would prefer to go into the building. It's just easier, and I'm a control freak. But there is one thing I appreciate, and this is where I have to call out my colleague and dear friend Carol Daniel, because Carol and I, we get along on a lot of things. We've always kind of mashed heads like brothers and sisters, but we care for each other. But there's one big difference, and I've always felt that there's two kinds of people in this world: people who like fluorescent lights in office buildings, and people who don't. So I don't understand. Carol flips on the fluorescent light. She does the news. I flip them off. And then during my show, I keep them off. And then when my show is over, they flip them right back on. This is what it looks like with fluorescent lights. It's like a big, shiny flashlight in your face. I don't want that. I don't want to work in a boring, stuffy office. I'd rather have, like, lava lamps and stuff like that. Might go a little bit too far. Plus, who really has lava lamps anymore? But I will rejoice for these weeks and months and maybe years without fluorescent lighting.
I'm taking a stand there, Carol. Somebody said, one of my followers on Twitter said, Mike said, I find it hard to believe that you like flipping things off. He was being sarcastic.
Very good, I think.
But, you know, I'm just trying to take the small takeaway is I would rather be at the station. But the fluorescent lighting, we do have disagreements on that. And I had to highlight that.
I just don't understand how I need to see the words. This may be it. I'm reading a newscast that I have written from a computer screen.
Right.
And you are talking extemporaneously. So you're not necessarily reading anything from the computer screen. So it doesn't matter to you that you can't see the screen. So maybe that's why I like the lights on.
Wait. How can you not see a computer screen? You can sit in the dark and see a computer screen.
But that's not good on your eyes.
It might not be.
That's not good on your eyes.
For me, it's a mood thing. Here's what Trish Gazelle said from KZK. You didn't see this on Twitter, but she said she's with me. No, I think this is on Facebook. She says she's with me on this. I got to read the exact quote. I'm with you on the lights, but Carol and Dave probably have a whole list of why they like you being at home, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, long list, right?
Mm-hmm.
Long list.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I will add to that I think that a lot of people who spin the tunes, DJs, are into mood lighting.
Right. Because that was my former life.
And that was your former life. And then you said it best. You used two words. Control
What's
freak.
That? Oh, yeah.
That's what it's about. You also, when we could, would control the thermostat.
Yeah, when we could. But you know what's funny about that? We were maybe even in disagreement back then on the temperature, but now I'm just as annoyed by the cold as you are. So I think we'd actually see eye on that one.
We're getting old. That's what's happening. Yeah.
All right, Carol, thank you very much.
The lights are on in the studio.
Right? Oh, my God. I have beautiful... I have indoor and outdoor lighting because I have the sun shining in, what little sun there is. Hey, how about that? Let's pop off on that while I'm complaining about other things this afternoon. Remember that forecast that said dry and warm for today?
Yeah.
It poured in my, did it pour down?
Yeah, I got in my car this morning. I'm like, what is that on my windshield?
Mm-hmm.
Rain.
Yeah, they didn't get that one right. We'll take that up with Steve a little later this afternoon. Carol is back at 3:30. We have much more to get through this afternoon. If you'd like to see the video, you can see the home studio on that. I put it on the show Facebook page. I actually have my personal Facebook page and on Twitter at Mark Reardon CamWex. All right, I got to see what we're doing here because I have to cross-reference my computer screens to find out what's next on the show this afternoon. Andy Puzder is coming up this afternoon. I love Andy Puzder. He is the former CEO of CKE Restaurants and the senior fellow at the Pepperdine University School of Public Policy. He also wrote a book about a year and a half ago called The Capitalist Comeback, but he'll have some really, really good insight on the recovery plan. I don't like calling it a stimulus because I don't think we're stimulating right now. We're trying to recover. Andy Puzder coming up next on KMOX.
Mark Reardon now.
No, never.
Yes, always.
Total Information PM at 4 on KMOX.
Welcome back. 3:19, Mark Reardon at the High Ridge Studio. We're not allowed in the building, so we'll see how long this lasts. Trying to get organized out here, doing okay, even though my producer, Dave Klein, keeps messing things up. And even if he's not, I'm just going to blame him anyway. You know, my next guest and I chat from time to time. We had him on a couple of weeks ago to talk about how great this economy was. Andy Puzder, remember that? Remember that conversation like 3 weeks ago?
I remember it well.
Goodness. Unbelievable. I mean, just the way the world has turned upside down in just an instant is really kind of mind-boggling right now.
It really is. If you saw it in a movie about pandemics, you'd hardly believe it. It's been pretty incredible.
Andy Puzder is the former CEO of CKE Restaurants, senior fellow at the Pepperdine University School of Public Policy, wrote a great book called The Capitalist Comeback, and was a Labor Department nominee. What do you think of, and I hesitate, I've been calling it recovery, not stimulus, because I don't think it's really stimulus. Did they get it right here, or is it a situation where they probably got a few things wrong, but we had to do it fast?
They got a few things wrong, but the general direction of the bill is very positive. You could see the market's reaction the last 3 days. It's come back pretty incredibly given the bill. There is a problem, and I hope people are going to hate me for saying this, but unemployment insurance, people will be discouraged from working because they will be encouraged to go take 4 months of unemployment. In many instances, people will be able to actually make more on unemployment insurance than they were making on their jobs. Now, there were some Republican senators who tried to stop that, who said you could only get up to 100% of what you made at your job. But the Democrats fought that, and one of the concessions the Republicans made was that they went along. And so now you literally could have people at an elder care facility who are already risking their lives, right? They're already going into these elder care facilities, which have been where you often find this disease spreading very easily. People say, look, why am I going to risk my life for the next 4 months? I can stay home and actually make more money and live and, you know, spend time with my kids. Now, you can't really blame them for that, but I think it's the bill puts them in a terrible position. You'll have people who work at restaurants who are just going to say, look, for 4 months, I can make as much or more money staying home while I go to work. So I think they got that part wrong. But I think everything else they did pretty well with.
I guess I'd like to think, and I know that that's something that people will take advantage of, but I think people are going to do the right thing. And I'm not as worked up about this. If this was just in a bill during times that wasn't a crisis, I think we'd be tearing our hairs out. There's no doubt about it. But given the nature and the circumstances, I think we maybe have more important things to worry about. But overall, can you see a situation, we're at $4 trillion right now? Can you see a situation where in the end, to make sure that we take care of everything, it doesn't eclipse maybe $10 trillion?
Well, I think the CARES Act is $2 trillion, and then there's $500 billion for the Fed that they can use for loans that they can actually leverage up to $4 million. So you'd have like $6 million in stimulus, although that's not how much we're spending. And by the way, I agree with your prior statement. I've told everybody who asked me about this to encourage their employees to do the right thing, understand these are difficult times. We need to come together as a nation and a people. And I hope there aren't people that'll take advantage, but it is a concern when people can make more than 100% of their salary. That was my, if it was 100%, yeah, I'd be fine, but more than 100%.
No, I understand the complaints. Yeah.
Yeah. This is, we're materially increasing the debt, but you know, we're really at war. I mean, this is very much like World War II. I mean, we're fighting an enemy here that we need to fight as if it's a war. And luckily, we have a wartime leader, so I think we're in pretty good shape. But it's a fight, and we're going to have to make sacrifices.
So I have my own answer to this. You wrote a book called The Capitalist Comeback. You're a free market guy, and that's what you're all about. And I appreciate that. But you have a lot of people now saying, "Look at these Republicans. They've been talking about socialism. They don't like socialism, and now all of a sudden they're embracing it." I have my own answer for that, and I know that you do too.
Well, it's a really terrible, terrible argument. Capitalism only survives if we have a government. You have to have a legal system. You have to be able to protect people that can't protect themselves. You need a criminal justice system. We need to be able to protect patents and trademarks. There are many, mutual defense and dealing with things like a pandemic. Like, government is good at this kind of thing. Government is good in World War II. Government rallied, and we were able to really win that war and really supply most of the world with the military equipment they needed to win that war. There are things government's good at, but to take one thing the government's good at and to say that it justifies the left's entire collectivist agenda is just sophistry. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Nobody's denying that the government should be taking care of the pandemic, but when it's over, if we want to get back to the kind of growth we had under President Trump prior to the pandemic, if we want to get back to prosperity and full employment and a dynamic labor market, we need to re-implement the limited government policies that he put in place. And if we do that, we will not only get through this pandemic, but we will recover very rapidly. If we do what Obama did and enact a bunch of laws that expand the government and expand regulations and make businesses feel, you know, like the government's attacking them and they're afraid to grow, then we'll have the same kind of miserable recovery we had under President Obama. But we can do this. We just have to go in the right direction.
One of the things, Andy, I've highlighted a couple of times this week, only because I've been talking to some business folks and they alerted it to me, and I saw a piece in the Wall Street Journal, and this may seem like it's in the weeds just a little bit to most people, but it does apply to the overall employment situation, and that's the $3 trillion in commercial real estate loans that are out there because of the great economy. But if you have landlords who are unable to pay their rent for the subway, for the mattress firm, both of those companies have already expressed interest in the government for rent relief. And I think there is something in this plan for that. But if you have restaurants that may be able to, you know, stay together, they can have their staff come back to work, they have enough capital to reopen the restaurant. But if there's not a building for the restaurant, it doesn't matter.
No, it's true. The CARES bill contemplates rent as an expense for which you can get a loan and then be reimbursed. So your rent on your current facilities is fine. When this is over, we're going to need people to start developing real estate again. And that's going to take confidence in the economy, liquidity, and reasonable interest rates. And, you know, right now, man, if you wanted to borrow money, if you could find somebody to lend it to you, interest rates are certainly low.
But how much of because this is a global pandemic and it's going to be probably a global recession, how much of this in the just the dominoes that will fall as a result of shutting down the worldwide economy for however long? You know, I'm optimistic that the recovery will come back relatively quickly. But even in the best case scenario, it's going to take a long time, isn't it?
I don't think it'll take for the worldwide economy. It probably will. I mean, there's a lot of countries that will put obstacles to growth in place. That's kind of been their mantra over the past 10, 20 years, particularly countries in Europe. But for the United States, I think if we can keep those obstacles to growth to a minimum, I think we'll see very, very dynamic growth. And I think people now understand that presidential candidate that was out there saying we need to be more reliant on ourselves. We need to make more things in the United States. You know, we need to worry about our relationship with China. Now, when we're worried about getting medications, if they find, you know, when they find a medication that may work as a therapeutic, whether or not we can get it imported, whether we can import it, I think people are starting to come around to realize that this guy actually knows what he's doing. And I think with confidence in our leader, and allowing our entrepreneurs the freedom to, you know, work capitalism's magic, I think we'll see a recovery very quickly once we get through this.
Andy Puzzer, and I agree with you on the president. I thought he started off horribly a couple of weeks ago, and I don't think that all the moments at the news conferences have been great, but there is, and you've heard even Gavin Newsom and Governor Cuomo express their appreciation, even the World Health Organization, for the president and how the administration is handling this. And nothing's perfect, and there's going to be some dissection in the aftermath of this. Do you embrace the optimism that the president has for getting the economy going sooner rather than later?
I'm so glad you asked me that. You know, I got to tell you, if we had the same press today that we had when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, and President Trump was president, he came out and said we have nothing to fear but fear itself. The press would be claiming he's lying to the American people. He's being too optimistic. Of course, we have more to fear than fear itself. We have the Japanese to fear. We have the Germans to fear. You know, this is a media establishment that so hates this president that even when he tries to lift the country up, even when he tries to be optimistic, they attack him for it. They'd certainly attack him if he were negative. So it really doesn't matter what he does. But the fact that he's been optimistic and realistically optimistic, he's not out there saying things he doesn't believe. He's out there saying things he does believe. And he's been proven right over and over again. So I agree with him. I think we will recover. Now, when we can open the economy, when we can at least let the economy get started. Remember, that doesn't mean that we should stop social distancing or we should stop supplying medical supplies or that we should, not protect the elderly and the infirm. We should continue to do all those things. But when we can start lifting the strictures in some parts of the country where this hasn't been as bad as it's been, say, in New York or California or Washington, I think you'll start to see the economy come back slowly. And when we come up with an effective therapeutic, or we come up with a vaccine, you're going to see the economy roar.
Well, and you know, because you know St. Louis, and Missouri is a perfect example of that, because we're not going to hopefully turn into New York or Los Angeles or San Francisco or Seattle. Andy Puzzer, great to have you on. I appreciate it.
Great to be here, Mark. Thank you.
COVID-19. Get the facts from St. Louis's trusted source for news. News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Well, back in the day, Chris Raby, who joins me for a Raby rant this afternoon, I was lucky enough, if memory serves, and it probably doesn't, I'm pretty sure, I know for a fact I saw the Harlem Globetrotters in the 70s with Curly Neal and Meadowlark Lemon once. I might have seen him twice, and Curly Neal passed away today, Fred Curly Neal, at the age of 77. Now, you're a little younger, but, you know, basketball wasn't always as big a deal as it is now, and the Harlem Globetrotters were immensely entertaining and did a lot to, you know, focus on basketball and the fun aspects of basketball. So that was a different era, but do you remember any of the videos from Curly Neal?
Absolutely. Yeah, man, the original Globetrotters, but also still, like, I don't want to say they had, like, a renaissance recently, but definitely, you know, would make the rounds and lended themselves to arenas like Enterprise and... Actually, I remember seeing them last year during a Blues game when they were promoting their upcoming tour and had some fun with them. So, yeah absolutely. Love the Globetrotters, for sure.
They have some, and I think you might have interviewed some of the Globetrotters. They have women on the team now who are very skilled as well. But Curly was just so much fun to watch because, you know, he'd do that curl dribble around people, and then he would just nail it from the outside too. Anyway, great memories of Curly Neal. Not so great memories, Chris Raby, today, because this was to be opening day in Cincinnati. Right now, we'd have baseball on the air on KMOX.
I know. And it's brutal, and there's nothing that any of us can do. There's nothing that anyone can do about it. And, you know, I figured, Mark, that maybe the one thing to do with no baseball today, and you can go to KMOX.com and check this out, was to, in my apartment, put on baseball pants and cleats and FaceTime Adam Wainwright. So I did that. He was not wearing baseball pants and cleats. But we had a great chat. We talked about what he's been up to. We talked about the 2011 team, obviously. And, you know, we're actually playing what is a milestone game for one Cardinal tonight, as they try to take 3 out of 4 against the Pirates, and just had a great chat, you know. And then the news came out shortly thereafter. And of course, Adam, being who he is, didn't necessarily tip his hand that Adam and his wife, and one of the foundations they work with is providing a grant and, you know, providing assistance for Cardinal minor leaguers. So it was great to visit with Adam. You can see a part of that chat right now at KMOX.com. And, you know, even if there's not Cardinal baseball in Cincinnati today for opening day, at least we've got some Cardinal baseball tonight. It's been fun these first couple of days of these 2011 games.
So yesterday you were in the studio. I'm in my my home studio out here in the burbs, and you just moved into a new apartment. Is that where you're
man
right now?
Cave?
Well, it's it's the offshoot of the man cave, if you will. The man cave is separate from where I am right now. It's like the sub man cave, if you will.
It's the dude den.
That's right. But how is your setup going?
It's good. Just kind of getting set up. Think I'm about finally unpacked and, you know, kind of had everything rolling this morning. It's funny how we all kind of adapt and, you know, I just have to give all credit in the world times a million to not only the great, you know, producers and engineers that get us on the air at KMOX, but Ryan Schulte, who's just done an incredible job. And I'm looking around my apartment right now and, you know, with pretty much stuff that I own, my computer, my iPad, my phones, and then a couple of cords, we're able to, you know, connect with you and talk on the radio right now and put together radio shows and have FaceTimes with, you know, people around the country. And I know KMOX and all of the stations at Intercom and really a lot of radio and TV around the country have gone this way. But yeah, I'm in the new digs, and it's pretty incredible what we're able to do with technology. So a big thanks to Ryan for that, for sure.
Well, let's do a little ranting here this afternoon, and I think we're going to keep it to the coronavirus and everything that's going on right now. And Chris and I usually touch base. Right. Well, Chris and I usually touch base, and you know, what do you got on your mind? What do you want to rant about? And I thought we could be rather generic, but then you came up with one that's kind of hacking me off lately as well, and it's, I guess, driven by social media. Oop, did we lose you? I think we lost him.
No, I'm here. I'm here. You got me? I'm still learning everything. I'll have to call Ryan Schulte. But, yeah, I just kind of have noticed, Mark, and, you know, I was thinking about it today because there's obviously no baseball. But, you know, I can see parts of SLU, and I can see some green areas from my apartment. And, you know, saw some people out enjoying walks and enjoying, you know, runs, and saw a couple of people playing catch at a healthy social distance. And it just seems like, and tell me if I'm off base, especially as the weather gets nicer and, you know, golf courses take the proper steps to open and people enjoy the outdoors and enjoy some much needed relief, I think, from being cooped up at home. And maybe more than that, thinking about having to be home all the time, there seems to be a group of people. And maybe this is part social media, part what's going on right now, and perhaps the perfect storm at the intersection of both. But just people who feel like it's their job, their responsibility to tell people what they should or shouldn't be doing, and who feel like it's their job to just police everyone. And police everyone at a time where, you know, certainly I think we all have a responsibility to do the right thing. But have you noticed this becoming a thing, like, on social media more and more?
Well, yeah, and I guess maybe because I feel like here in St. Louis and in Missouri, we still have every right to go outside and go to parks. And I think it would be probably wise to stay away from a bunch of people who might sweat on you. But, yeah, you know, what's wrong? I've even seen, I can't speak for these South American countries, but I've seen helicopters swoop down and sort of try to drive people off the beaches. What's so wrong about being on a beach or somewhere else? And I'm not talking about the spring breakers and all that nuttiness. I'm just talking about getting outside.
I mean, we can all agree.
Six feet away from people.
Yeah, we can all agree that, like, the spring break example was such an extreme example of idiocy, but also just kind of a perfect display of what everyone was at that age. So, yeah, you know, we can move past that, all right? But I'm talking about just people, like, living life, like, doing things. Listen, Dr. Fauci is my North Star, and I need no compass. And he said, go outside, go for a walk, walk your dog, go for a run, play catch, do whatever. Like, but just, you know, maintain healthy social distance. So everyone has a responsibility to do that. But, you know, I really believe that the only way anything is going to change and the only way we're going to get through any of this is for all of us to decide that we need to take on responsibility, and we need to take on making this thing better by working at it every single day. It's the only way we're going to get through it. But the thing we don't need is it's almost like a societal state trooper with like this social media radar gun, just trying to catch every single person who isn't doing things the way they think they should be done. And you know what? If you want to stay inside and yell at people for behaving responsibly outside their homes, then go ahead. But for some reason, I'm getting tired of it. And we see it more and more, and it's perhaps at a crescendo now. There are people in the world that would rather spend time and energy just telling others what they're doing wrong rather than, I think, trying to do the right thing because they know it's right. So, like, all I'm ranting about now is that life is hard enough and this is hard enough. So, you know, we don't need anyone pointing out every single misstep along the way or trying to raise the proverbial video game difficulty level on everyone else's game without asking any permission. So you stay inside, I'll be responsible and enjoy some fresh air and try not to think about the fact that there should be damn baseball right now.
Oh, so this is interesting. You raised something, though, and you know, 2 years ago, April, Chris, is when, and I'm just offering this as a point of reference, and I have a point here, is when I was riding my bike, and I rode religiously for probably 15 years. I had a friend that I was going to ride with the next day. I said, hey, you riding tomorrow, which was a Sunday, and he said, no, I'm going to play golf. And I said, I'd like to play golf. Not been on the bike in any serious fashion, really barely had my butt on the bike since. I'm going to get on the bike this weekend. But you talked about golf because I'd like to play golf. What are the rules and are the courses open right now? What I've heard is that the pins aren't in. You can't touch the pins, which I think is fine. But what's the status of area golf clubs? Do you know? Or golf courses?
Yeah. So I know I can't give you the status of all of them, but I do know that a lot of them and a lot of them that maybe were going to close have made the decision to reopen in the last couple of days, which I think is great, you know? And I do know that there are, again, a number of courses both in St. Louis and on the Missouri side and, you know, in the metro area on the Illinois side that are both open, which, again, I think is great. And all credit, once again, to the courses for the diligence and, you know, everything that I've seen, because I was actually going to ask you if you want to maybe play golf this weekend.
We should play golf. I'm looking at Aberdeen right now and they're open. So we should find a course and play golf.
Yeah. And everything that I've seen is that it's one rider to a cart. So you take your own cart. Don't touch the pins. So either the metal cup is actually raised, so the ball hits the metal cup and bounces off, or, you know, you don't need to touch the pin, whatever. And golf is a pretty socially distant sport. I mean,
absolutely.
Maybe
especially
we don't
me,
make a lot of
because
birdies.
I'm in the woods
yeah,
a lot.
And we don't make a lot of birdies, so we probably won't be doing a lot of high fiving. But you know, I give golf courses and their patrons credit for taking responsibility to get through this and to try to make the most of this situation. Like, golf is 1 million times safer right now than going literally anywhere. But we're all going to have to go places. So it's on us to do it as safely and responsibly as we can. And again, for all of you, whatever I said, societal state troopers, just let us do it. Like, everyone is going to have to make their own decisions because that's the only way that anything is going to change. So allow us to go and responsibly play some golf. And I don't know, maybe for everyone out there that's been picking on everyone, just go take a walk outside. It's nice, and you're not going to spontaneously combust, and it'll be okay. I promise it will be.
I mentioned Aberdeen, Chris. You've played Aberdeen?
I've never played Aberdeen. Yeah. I played Peevely, and I played Peevely a ton. I love Peevely.
I like Peevely,
right,
but here's
the deal.
Right? Yeah, but you can't walk Peevely. It's just too – I don't even think they let you. But Aberdeen, you can walk it, and I actually like walking.
Oh, I'd be down to walk for sure.
Right.
Absolutely.
All right, well, we're going to do that. Let's see. You know, you've been talking about playing golf with me for literally 2 years, and you've never done it. And I've tried to get you out there, so we'll see
what
if we can execute something.
Yeah, because you generally play, like, on a Saturday morning in the middle of summer after I'd been at Busch
Stadium
until midnight. You play at 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
So it's going to be nice on it's going to be nice on Sunday, right? Like 70 degrees.
Book a time. I'm there. I'm serious.
Oh, I'll book it. Okay. Yeah.
That's why I know it's not going to happen.
Listen to Mr. Holmes Studio.
Yeah.
No. Let's get on it. And, you know, Here's an invitation.
I'm on their website right now. You want me to book it right now?
What you got?
I'll have to see. Online tea times are not available at this time. That's what it says. I'll have to call.
Oh, and that was, but that was another thing I saw that a lot of courses have been doing. They have been, a lot of them you pay online and prepay so that you don't need to go inside and you don't need to actually interact with that. So literally, let's all be golf courses. If we're all golf courses, and if we act like the golf courses are acting, we'll be all right. Again, Dr. Fauci, let him be your North Star.
There you go, Chris Reagan.
Is it too late to get that guy on a general election ballot, by the way?
I love that guy. Tony Fauci, he's coming up, by the way. We have an update from the task force. 4 o'clock, Rady's back when we do have sports. We might not be on at 4:15. Then again, they start these things very late, right?
Better late than never.
All right,
but
take
I'm
care.
Always never late.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right, I have a few here. I haven't played this one yet. This is our friend, fellow broadcaster, Monica Adams, who spent many years at Channel 2. She's at Channel 5 right now. We're all dealing with these situations at our home. And my daughter is actually still in daycare. The daycare is still open. If that daycare stops, you'll hear her in the background. But this is what Monica was facing this morning.
Okay. Hey, stop. Try it again. In 3, 2, watch out. Watch out for a little light fog as you're heading out this morning. Oh, my gosh. Try it again.
Well, those of us who have dogs certainly would be familiar with a situation like that. Second part of our trifecta this afternoon, my good buddy Kenny Wallace. He always makes me smile.
Hey, everybody. I am Kenny Wallace, and this is my living room. And I'm the guy that is on Twitter all the time. So I want to show you something that is really fun to do. Walking outside right now. Follow along with me. And you know what? You know what? The sun will come out tomorrow. You can bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow. I cannot sing, but I sing to myself and I like me. I'm a nut. Look, my grass is green. Look, the sun is out. The sun will come out. Get outside. Blow the carbon out your ass. Let's go. Come on.
Here's the sad part of that. He's sober there. I know this for a fact, and I've seen him when he's not. So you think about that. He's awesome, and you should follow him on Twitter, Kenny Wallace. Pride of Arnold, Missouri, if you will. Race car driver extraordinaire. And then finally this, and this is awesome too. Dr. Elvis Francois is a surgeon at the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Remember, a group of celebrities tried to do this a week and a half ago, and it backfired on them. People thought it was tone deaf because it was. It just was kind of weird. But this is really special. Dr. Francois, listen to this. Goodness, this is your audio cut of the day trifecta on KMOX. We have traffic, then a briefing coming up at the top of the hour is scheduled as well.
Imagine all the people living for today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.